produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, Faith Walkers, and welcome to the Faith Walkers broadcast. My name is Iona, and I am so glad you decided to listen in today. Before we begin, though, I must first shout out to Josie Hopkins, CEO of Josie's Inspirations Radio Network USA, and Ms. Kayla Padgett, CEO, founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA, for this opportunity to be of service. I'm excited to have you tune in today and welcome you as we continue our faith walk. Today we're exploring the importance of staying connected. Yes, connected to the tree of life. One of the many desires of the human heart is connection to something or someone. You see, it's in our DNA. We desire to be seen, to be known, and to be loved through our connection with others. Oftentimes, we're all too familiar with putting work and effort into cultivating human relationships, yet forgetting about the most important connection of all, our connection with God. And for that, it takes work and intention. Now, connecting with God in many ways can seem so abstract. One might ask, how do you spend time with someone you can't see, you can't touch, you can't text, you can't even grab coffee with? Faith is what makes connection possible. Now, we can all relate to the fact that sometimes life gets in the way of experiencing God's presence and being in relationship with Him if we're not careful. You see, we get distracted by all the commitments we have, our work, our daily responsibilities. They all take up our time and our mental energy. Once we realize we've drifted from God, we must figure out how to find our way back. Well, today we're going to explore strategies to do just that. I have 7. So let's grab your pencils and get ready to get reconnected to the tree of life. My prayer is that you will identify and relate to one or more of these strategies that will reestablish your connection with God. Now, as I said before, there's 7 ways. Not all inclusive, but 7 ways that I've identified in my research how to connect with God, and the first is in prayer. When it comes to God and having a connection, it's no surprise that prayer is at the top of the list. You see, prayer is our way of communicating with God. It's simply a conversation, and God will talk back to us in and through prayer. Oftentimes we don't hear Him because we're too busy. We're not listening, or truly not seeking His guidance. Just think about that. Connecting with God in prayer requires four things. One, reverence for God. You have to have a reverence and respect for who He is. You must be humble and have humility. Come into God with humble hearts and the realization that prayer is a privilege. And we must confess our sins and ask God for forgiveness. Why? Otherwise, sin will hinder us from experiencing God's presence. And last but not least, we must have praise for God. When we go to God with a grocery list of wants or requests, we're missing the point of prayer. Prayer is a time to redirect our focus onto God. We do that by praising Him for who He is and reminding ourselves of that in the process and then presenting our request to Him. When we make time to pray, we are in communion and fellowship with the holy, perfect God. So you see, prayer is powerful because God is powerful and He has created us and loves us. Another way to connect with God is through Scripture. Now let's get real. Connecting with God without the Bible is impossible, and I would dare anyone to try it. The Bible is God's Word and His way of revealing Himself to us through the Holy Spirit. God inspired the Holy Scriptures so that we, 2,000 years later, could know and understand who God is. The Bible is much like a GPS, or what we call a global positioning system, which directs our path from point A to point B simply by plugging in an address. Well, the Bible does the same thing. Any life experience you can have can be addressed in His Word. I like to call it my SPS, my spiritual positioning system. Scripture reveals our sin, God's commands of the law show us that what is moral and right, and the Scripture shows us how we fall short, which may and should prompt us to repent and turn to God for our deepest spiritual need, which is salvation. Scripture also shows us salvation, because you see, the Bible's climax is the arrival of Jesus Christ the Messiah. This is the one of the keys of the gospel. Scripture also, as I said before, guides us through life. God's Word was written 2,000 years ago, but the Bible is timeless. It has been and remains our SPS, our spiritual positioning system, providing instruction, wisdom, and counsel to help us live our everyday lives in a way that glorifies God, protects our hearts, and discerns evil. Our third point is that we can connect with God in church. In church, we receive instruction of God's Word. The sermon or message helps me in my learning of who God is and the meaning of living for Him. And I also appreciate hearing the experience and extra biblical historical knowledge that the pastor brings to the Scriptures. Church also offers a relief from life's worries and distractions. Church creates a separation for me from life's circumstances. It's a place where I can truly focus on connecting with God and strengthening my faith in Him. And also, in church, I can share and hear testimonies of God's work. I hear how God is working and has worked in the lives of others, which inspires and encourages me, reminding me that God, who was there for them, is also the one who has the power to help me. Now, some of you may ask, now, do I need to go to church to stay connected to God, Iona? Well, why can't I connect to God without church? Many of us have asked this question, and I know for myself that I have. At some point on your faith walk, we may decide to not go to church. I know I did. There can be many different reasons, and at the time that you make that decision, there is validity in it for you. I don't discount that. Whether you attend church or not is your decision. But God says this about his people meeting together. God wants his believers to come together to encourage each other and to worship him and to study his word. That's the basic purpose of church in a nutshell. On the flip side, some people have had unsettling experiences in church and outside of church, and I will not downplay the hurt that may come from such experiences, but please know that church, like the world, is full of sinful people who, as we know, make mistakes. I want you to know that God also hurts when you hurt. These are feelings and experiences that you should take to God in prayer. Be honest with him about the difficulties you're experiencing. And with his guidance, you can then make the right decision for you. We can also connect with God in our community. You see, we're not designed to walk through this life alone. And when I think back to the separation associated with the pandemic and the global shutdown, the relationships is what I miss the most. You see, relationships are most important and necessary in life. We need connection. My pastor has a favorite saying that always resonates with me. And I quote, "Life is about relationships or it ain't about nothing." This is pure, unadulterated truth. Think about it. Now, there are benefits of being part of a Christian community, one of which is that we get to pray for each other. When we're faced with life issues or feeling alone, unable to feel our connection with God, it is our Christian peers that can rally around us and pray with and for us. We should all have a strong prayer warrior in our lives. This increases our ability to fight spiritual warfare and rely on God when our faith begins to waver. Community also offers an opportunity to learn from each other and brings people of different spiritual maturities and experiences together. Experiences of learning from each other offer godly counsel rooted in God's word, and study God's word together. Experience God's presence. Sometimes when we're struggling in life, our Christian community can help us experience God's presence. The fifth principle is that we can connect with God through worship. When some of us think about worship, we think about the singing and the playing of the instruments, lifting up of the hands, or shouting praises. And that's all good, and I love it too. But I want to warn you that true worship, however, is something that you do every day with intention. Connecting with God through worship requires that we have respect and reverence for God's holiness, praise for who God is, be thankful for what he has done, selflessness by putting God before yourself, and recognition of your need for Jesus. Be careful that we put more emphasis on the entertainment of the worship experience so that we miss out on the point of a connection with God. Getting connected to God means changing the posture of your heart to focus on God instead of yourself. Then through a pure, transformed heart, we can truly worship God every day. We can also connect with God, number six, through service. By connecting with his mission, as a believer, we are part of his kingdom and expected to do his work here on earth through serving others. We are to do the things that Jesus did while he was on earth and love others as he did. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 8 says, though he was God, Jesus humbled himself, came to earth, and served others. He washed his disciples' feet, dined with sinners, and fed the hungry. You see, being part of God's work and mission connects us to him. We become closer to God when we share the good news of salvation with those we encounter every day. And finally, number seven, we can connect with God each and every day, and we should. You don't need to be in a big worship event, church service, or Bible study meeting to stay connected with God. It helps in our connection, but it is not mandatory. In fact, connecting with God is meant to be an everyday, every moment event. We connect with God by enjoying nature, watching the sunset, hiking, or just being outside, or admiring animals or the birds in our yards. I ask you, how is God using you in your work or community or profession? The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So in conclusion, maintain your godly connection. Even if your faith is shaken or you're unsure how to connect with God spiritually, remember, it's never too late to connect with God, because he is the God of second chances. I pray that one or more of the strategies shared today will establish your connection or reconnection to God, and not only strengthens your faith walk, but encourages your heart and accomplishes the purpose he has for you. So I ask yourself this question. Am I secure in my connection to God? My prayer is that the Lord will reveal the answer. And until we meet again, let's lace up our spiritual shoes and continue our faith walk. This is Iona signing off. And we're going to close out with a song by Adrian Williams entitled, Stay Connected. Peace.
Stay connected to the world.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
I woke up from that dream with a feeling unlike anything I'd ever experienced. I had a new sense of purpose because of all the dreamers who have paved the way for me and inspired me. And I was no longer afraid to dream big dreams. I learned that nothing was impossible, and I could accomplish anything I set my mind to. While I sat in the basement and reflected on the journey I'd just taken with my mother and the things I saw vividly as I dreamed, I knew that it was my life's work to share what I knew with others so they would dream big dreams too. I dream big and small. Sometimes, man, I don't even dream at all. I dream of what I shall become, the good deeds that will be done, that teacher nurturing our young, a lawyer contesting the trials that have begun, that doctor saving lives, my president to change that state of mind, a scientist seeking change agents, a builder engineering the world's new creation. I dream of becoming an athlete or performer, of something that will transform him or her, an astronaut among the stars, shining bright and providing new insight, changing the world and impacting nations. Love, peace, and kindness are my recommendations. I dream big, I dream small. I dream that I am a role model for all.
Hello, and welcome to Dab with Coach K. I am your host, Dr. TCK. That is your transformational Coach K, and I am so honored and grateful that you have tuned in with me. I am grateful to share this platform with you and hope that something is shared that will inspire you, encourage you, as well as empower you along your journey. Today, I want to talk to you about living a balanced life. With our busy and sometimes hectic schedules, our lives can become unbalanced, and unfortunately, an unbalanced life can lead to stress, illness, or fatigue, disorganization, lack of accomplishment, and tasks taking longer than usual. If, however, we are unable to reduce stress and manage a well-balanced life, there can be physical and/or emotional consequences. A balanced life is essential for personal effectiveness, peace of mind, and living well. The challenge is to balance what we must do with what we enjoy and choose to do. Here are some strategies that you can use in order to begin living a balanced life. So I want to give you 10 strategies that can help you begin this journey of a balanced lifestyle. Number one, know how you spend your time. You want to become aware of how you use your time so that you can improve your time management skills. So if you're so busy, let's just say, you know, if you're so busy doing church, social groups, and work, and then you only have a small percentage allotted for home, then that's not balanced, because your home needs to be taken care of. That is your oasis. That is where you spend a good portion of time. That's where you rest. You know, that's also maybe where your family is. So you want to make sure that you have a balanced life. You don't want to spend so much time at work that home is neglected, or spend so much time at church that home is neglected. And when I say home, that includes family members, you know, marriages, relationships, children, all of that stuff. So you don't want to spend so much time outside that your home is neglected. So become aware of how you use your time. Okay. Also, you want to set priorities. The key to prioritization is determining the most important thing to do to reach your goals. So if I know that, let's just say, if I know that I want to lose weight, because this is normally a big one, what are those things that I must do in order to lose weight? And that usually falls in the categories of eating and working out of some sort. So those two things need to become priority along with rest. Need to become priority, okay? So you need to make sure that you spend that time creating meals that work towards the goal of losing weight and becoming healthier. You need to make sure that you're doing some type of movement, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's a dance class, whether it's just walking, whatever it is, some type of movement that helps you go work towards that goal of losing weight. Getting rest. Many people do not realize how much getting rest helps with weight loss, in the sense of, if you don't spend enough time resting, sometimes that can, for some people's bodies, that can impact your weight. Okay. So you want to make sure that whatever it is, whatever your ultimate goal is, that you set those priorities to help those, prioritize those tasks to help you reach that goal. Okay. You want to use planning tools such as a planner, to-do list, can improve your productivity. Your smartphones and tablets help to make these tools readily available to you. Let me just tell you this story real quick. This is true. I used to be a very big on the digital calendars. Was so big on it. I would do a digital calendar on my phone, and then I would do the manual calendar. A lot of times what would happen to me with the manual calendar, either a couple of months in, I would stop using it, or definitely by January, I would stop using the manual calendar and I would solely just use my digital calendar. However, as we've entered into this pandemic, that has totally switched up for me. I'm not going to say I can't stand it, but I do not look at my digital calendar at all. What I might use my digital calendar for is if I go to appointments, doctor appointments, nail appointments, hair appointments, I'll put it in there. And then I come home and put it into my physical calendar. But I'm not, you know, I used to be so gung-ho about my digital calendar. I am not that anymore. I need my physical calendar and I use it literally every day. This last year and a half, I have truly, truly, truly used my physical calendar. I'll probably say 97% of the time I've used it. And like I said, if I do not have it with me, I will put it in my phone. And then as soon as I come home, I will check my calendar to make sure that it's good and that there's no conflicts. And if there's a conflict, I immediately call, you know, the place where I was, whether it's the doctor's or whatever type of appointment or whatever it was that I had entered into my digital calendar. So I want you to know that it's okay. Life happens. And so things will switch sometimes. And so you want to make sure that you do, in as we change, as we have different seasons in life, that you change with those seasons. You know, what once worked with you, works for you 5 years ago, may not work for you now. What once worked for you 2 months ago, may not work for you now. What once worked for you 2 days ago, may not work for you now. So make sure that you are doing and using those things that actually work for you in the current season and space that you are in. Okay, so we have know how you spend your time, set priorities, use planning tools. Then you have get organized. You want to remove clutter. Getting organized are valuable tasks. When I say clutter, it could be physical clutter in your home, in your office, at work. It can be in your car. Those are examples of physical clutter. But then there's also mental and emotional clutter. I give you the example of, I had a family member that we had multiple deaths, and mentally and emotionally, that person was cluttered. And not only was that person cluttered mentally and emotionally, but it showed up or manifested physically as well. And once that person was able to declutter their emotions and their mental thoughts, then you began to see the physical clutter go away. And so you want to make sure that you're doing those things that help to declutter your life, whether it's physically, mentally, or emotionally, because it helps. Disorganization can sometimes make you feel overwhelmed. And it can make things, it can impact you in ways that you're unaware of. So it's very, very, very important that you make sure that you get organized and declutter mentally, physically, and emotionally. Some ways to help you get to declutter mentally and emotionally, that could be seeing a therapist or talking to someone that helps you to provide strategies for you. To cope and deal with things. So that is huge, okay? Other tools may be, for some people, it's working out. That helps to release any stress or tension that they may be going through. It may be meditation or mindfulness moments. So whatever it is, some people do yoga. Whatever it is for you, to help you declutter emotionally and mentally, you want to make sure that you do it so that you can be organized, even physically, okay? So then you have schedule. When are you most productive and alert? When do you tend to overcommit? When can you more easily balance responsibilities? And when do you make time for yourself? So these are some good questions when you're looking at your schedule. Okay, if you know that you don't do well in the morning and you have a control over how you schedule your day, then don't put anything in the morning. Don't put anything at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning if you know you're not a morning person. You know, if you know that you are more productive at night, then, you know, make sure that that's when you do your work. Make sure that's when you get things done. So you want to know when your most productive time is, and learn when you tend to overcommit and who you do that with. You know, if a family member calls you at the drop of a dime, you're always going to go, whether you have things to do or not. That's overcommitting, right? So again, you need to learn how to say no sometimes. You know, if you know that you have something on your schedule, you don't have to be everything for everybody all the time. It's okay to say no. It's okay to put your priorities or your task ahead of other things and other people at times, especially when it ends up falling on you. And you know, and you may lose track of deadlines. You may be late for a deadline, or it may cause you to not do the things that you need to do. Okay. So don't overcommit yourself to the detriment of your schedule and things that you have to do. It's okay to say no, all right? I really want you to hear that. It is okay to say no, All right. So we have know how to spend your time, set priorities, using planning tools, get organized, look at your schedule, and then delegate. Not doing everything yourself is essential. This goes back to the scheduling of what I said. You don't have to be everything to everybody again. You do not always have to say yes. Let me tell you this story because I promise you it's going to liberate you and set you free. I used to be a yes person all the time. And when I tell you, when I learned the word no, it changed my life. It changed my life, but made the other people that I started saying no to feel some type of way. And that is okay. Because what I noticed was when I was saying yes all the time, people began to be so dependent on me. They knew that whenever they asked me that I would come through, they didn't have to worry about me. They knew that I said what I said I was going to do, I was going to do. They knew my word was my bond. They knew they didn't have to take care of anything, that Kamika had it, right? But I was running myself in the ground. They, you know, not coming to events, not going to church, you know, going on trips, living their best life. Not me. I mean, well, I was, but I was, you know, I didn't take vacations. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do because I was committed to my word. When I give you my word and tell you I'm going to do something, that's what I do. And so the moment I learned how to say no, boy, oh boy, that freed me. And I tell you, I was happy, but it confused them, the other people. And they began to have to do it themselves. They began to learn that, oh, well, she's not going to be there all the time. No, ma'am, no, sir. No, I'm not. Why? Just like because you live your life, I got a life to live too. I have to make sure my life is balanced too. I have to make sure my world is balanced too. And so be sure that you delegate. Trust other people to do things. Your work will go on without you. Okay? You don't have to be there to make it right. And even if that is the case, empower them to do it and trust them to do it. If they were hired for that job, hey, let them earn their pay and let them figure it out. So that way it empowers them and it releases you. So learn to delegate. I don't care what it is, church, work, family, you know, home life, learn to delegate. You cannot and should not do it all. Another example, you talk about people, you know, this you look at our houses for a minute, right? You say, oh, my husband or my wife or the kids don't do this. You tell the kids to do something and then, or the other people to do something. And then because you don't like the way that they wash the dishes or you don't like the way that they do this, you like, move out the way, I'll do it. Don't get mad at them. You got to empower them to learn how to do it. Either learn how to do it your way or learn how to let them do it and you help to improve with it in the way that they're doing it. But you have to learn to let people do it so that you can be free. Because other than that, you might as well just do it yourself. So you want to make sure that you learn to delegate and just let it go and empower people in so many ways by doing so. Then you want to stop procrastinating. Putting things off results in poor time management. Let me say that again. Putting things off results in poor time management. Some techniques to stop procrastinating are: break big projects into smaller components, more manageable segments. Poke holes, as I call them. Poke holes in your project. Do the quick and easy tasks first, and then move on to the larger tasks. Do the harder or most unpleasant part of the project first so that you can get that out the way. Set aside 30 minutes of uninterrupted time to work on the project. Remove distractions. That's a huge one. Making sure that you remove distractions. If you know you don't work well with noise, then don't do work or that whatever it is that you're trying to get done when you're surrounded around a whole bunch of noise. If you know that you can't do it with people in the room, then don't set yourself up to do work with people in the room. Make sure that you set your environment in a way that it removes yourself from distractions. If that means turning off your phone, turn off your phone or your tablets. Say positive things to yourself about your progress. Okay? Celebrate all of it. Celebrate all of it. Aim for the exceptional, but allow yourself to be pleased with good enough. I'm a perfectionist. I'll just say it. I'm a perfectionist, but I have to give myself grace. Everything is not always going to be perfect, but I can pat myself on the back. And as I'm aiming for perfection or aiming for the exceptional thing, I can allow myself grace to say, hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, it's got to improve here, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way. We're almost there at the target. Okay. Good enough is still good. Okay. It still allows room to move forward. Okay. So aim for the exceptional, but allow yourself to be pleased with good enough. Celebrate small accomplishments. Award yourself for small steps as you work towards the final product. I'm big on this. Any progress, no matter how tiny or how huge it is still progress. So as you move forward, you celebrate yourself. Great job. You know, go tell yourself a great job. Go buy yourself something. Go get your favorite food. I'm big on that. I'll get my favorite food or I'll go pamper myself in some way. But make sure that you celebrate your progress, no matter how big or small it may be. Celebrate it. Okay. Celebrate it. And then you want to make sure. So we've already talked about know how to spend your time, set priorities, using planning tools, get organized, schedule, delegate, stop procrastinating. Then we want to look at manage time wasters. This is identifying some of the most ways we waste time, and addressing them helps to capitalize on available minutes. So a great example of this is if you know before you work, you gotta go to the restroom, you know, you're gonna look on your phone, you're going to walk around for a little bit, talk to whoever you're gonna talk to. That's a little bit of time wasters, especially when you have an important task that needs to be done or you want a high priority deadline. That's a time waster. So you may to minimize that or to maximize your time, you may say, okay, if I tell myself at 12:30, I'm going to begin on this task, that means go to the bathroom, check my phone, talk to whoever it is I need to talk to prior to that. And so that at 12:30, I start my task and I have removed distractions and I can move forward. Okay. So as we know how we spend our time, we're setting priorities, we're using planning tools, we're getting organized, we're looking at our schedule, we're delegating, we are not procrastinating anymore, we're managing time wasters, then we want to avoid multitasking, which is focusing results in greater productivity, okay? We wanna make sure that we're focusing our results in greater productivity. So to help us minimize multitasking, because a lot of times we think that we're multitasking and we're really not, or we think that we're really efficient in multitasking and we're really not. So to help us minimize multitasking, we can minimize interruptions. We've heard that before, right? Those distractions, those things that's going to interrupt us, minimize those. Make a note to yourself about something you need to do later, rather than stopping a current task that you're doing in order to do that thing. So take notes so that you can do it later. You're not breaking your train of thought. You're not stopping something that you're currently doing. You want to make sure that you stand up periodically while you're working to improve concentration. Take those brain breaks. Set deadlines for yourself that concentrate on completing one task at a time. And then the last one, so, you know, which is staying healthy. So we have talked about 10 strategies, right, to help us live a balanced lifestyle. So it's know how you spend your time, set priorities, using planning tools, we're getting organized, looking at our schedule, delegating. We're going to stop procrastination. We're going to manage our time wasters and avoid multitasking. And lastly, stay healthy. Okay. I always say this, you cannot pour from an empty cup. Okay. So taking care of yourself is important too, whether that's regular exercise or movement, nutritious meals, and opportunities for continuous learning should be a part of your schedule. Okay. Staying healthy, getting that rest. You can't give and do, or spend time at work all the time or whatever, wherever it is you spend majority of your time and not taking care of yourself. Let me say this so that you can hear. You are important too. Self-care is important too. You have to pour into yourself and allow yourself time to rest your body, rest your mind, rest your emotional state so that you can be the best you can possibly be each and every day. Okay? I'm going to say it again. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't just keep going and going and going because there may come a time where you are forced to sit down and you may not like what that looks like. Okay? So take the time to rest. Take the time to pour into yourself so that you can rejuvenate and refresh your mind, your spirit, your body, your soul. Take the time to pour into you so that you can be healthy, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, as well as emotionally. It's worthwhile to invest in a balanced life for yourself as well as for your family. As I always say, if we ourselves are broke down, then we can't be helpful to someone else. Balance is vital. Please remember that. Balance is vital. And so we've come to that time again. It's the end of our segment. I have totally enjoyed talking to you and sharing living a balanced life with you, because this is very important. I am the balance queen. You will hear me say, if we're talking, you will hear me say, hey, you need to rest. Hey, you need to say no a couple of times, because I'm about balance. You do not want life to sit you down, or as I say, you do not want God to sit you down sometimes, because you're not going to be prepared for it when you can actually be proactive and take some rest and get some balance in your life. It may not be perfect, and that's okay, but making sure that we are doing the things that help us to be and live a more balanced life. And so, as always, if you like to connect with me, you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Transformational Coach K, and at Twitter at For Life Coach K. Again, at Twitter, it's the number four Life Coach K, as well as you can follow the DAB podcast, which is Discover, Activate, and Blaze podcast on Apple Podcasts, as well as other outlets. I want you to continue to be great on purpose. And until next time, I am Transformational Coach K. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.